If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, it comes right after the book of Psalms. We are beginning our new series this morning in this book of Proverbs. We will be in this book for several months into the summer and perhaps through the summer. And I'll explain the structure a little bit later, but we'll be spending the bulk of our time in the first nine chapters. There's also an introductory pamphlet that I put together out in the narthex and in the fellowship hall that you can grab if you don't have it already after the service. As we begin Proverbs, what we're really beginning is a journey, because Proverbs is about life. It is about life at the most practical and rudimentary level. And life is a journey. We are all on a path. And central to the path of Proverbs is not just a focus on defining the wise path or in learning to make wise decisions. It is more a focus on the work that God does in shaping wise people. As one author put it, Proverbs as a book is about God's work of placing his people on his anvil, where we trust him enough to stay there until his work is done. And in the book of Proverbs, it's the author's craft, his ability to use words, riddles, poems, wise sayings, these kinds of things that are going to help us along this journey. So Proverbs is considered wisdom literature within the scriptures, along with books like Ecclesiastes about the purpose of life, Job about the life of suffering as a godly person. And this book is wisdom literature filled with poetry. Now, whether you know or enjoy poetry, many of us are probably familiar with what some believe to be the most well-known poem in American history. And it is a poem about a path or two paths. And it's Robert Frost's The Road Not Taken. He wrote that in 1915. A lot of commentary has been written on this somewhat brief poem that he wrote, in terms of its meaning. But it, at least when you read it, conveys the experience that in life we are met with diverging roads, crossroads that we come to at points in our lives, path choices that we are to make. So in that poem, Frost writes this: two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And he said, sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveler. So long I stood, I looked down one path as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then I took the other. He says, I doubted if I should ever come back. And then famously at the end, he says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Well, whatever one thinks of Frost's words and path choices, the path of Proverbs is quite different. And part of what makes it different is that on this path, there's a voice. And this voice is not whispering. This voice is crying out very loudly. This is the voice of wisdom, Lady Wisdom, one of the main characters in the book of Proverbs. And in the first chapter of the book, in chapter 1, verse 20, we hear her crying out. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. This is Lady Wisdom, and she's urging and calling people to come down the path of wisdom. Because on this path, there is life. Life flourishing in the Lord. So let's turn and focus on the first seven verses, which are really an introductory statement or preamble to the whole of the book. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Listen now to God's word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, you can see the mission statement is very clear right at the outset in the opening verses. In verse 2 it says, to know wisdom and instruction. To understand words of insight, to receive instruction in righteousness and justice, to give prudence to the simple, discretion to the youth. But this wisdom and knowledge, it's not the kind of thing you would find in a fortune cookie. A cute saying that might give you a little bit different glimpse or thought or perspective on life. The wisdom of Proverbs here is about matters of life and death. In Proverbs 13:14, it says this, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. And so wisdom is really an entire way of living. It's an entire life path. At the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, a sermon that's packed full of wisdom for godly living, at the very end in chapter 7, he concludes with these words. Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Wisdom then is about hearing the words of God and then appropriating those words in such a way as to build an entire life, a life that's built on a rock, because the winds do come, the rains do fall, the storms of life beat upon the house, and we need a house, a life built on a rock. Now, to further grasp the wisdom of which Proverbs speaks, Jeremiah, the prophet, in Jeremiah 18:18, reminds us that throughout the Old Testament, the Lord spoke and standardized his word in at least three primary ways. One was through the prophets, like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Joel. Prophets called to declare, thus saith the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. Secondly, God used and called priests. Priests came and they often explained further the meaning of that declared word. If you recall perhaps in the book of Nehemiah, as the preaching of the word goes forth, we're told that the priests then came along the people and gave the sense of the meaning of the word. They came and explained things. But then a third group is mentioned, wise men. These men came and gave counsel to the people, applying the word of God to the practicality of life, everyday life. A person can know a whole lot about the Bible, but still make a complete mess of their lives, of their family, of their relationships. Why? Because a mere knowledge is not sufficient. We need wisdom, the application of that, the doing of that word, the carrying out of that word. And that's what wisdom does. We need the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus comes to us not only as teacher, not only as redeemer, but he comes to us as wise counselor. When Jesus entered his hometown in Matthew 13, teaching in the synagogue, his neighbors were told, were astonished, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom? The prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Redeemer and Messiah, saying, to us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. Now, let us be clear. Proverbs is not merely about growing in making moral decisions. It includes that. It is about coming to Christ, as Paul, the apostle, said in Colossians chapter 2, Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Think about the image and the purpose of a compass. You might be thinking, why do I need a compass when I have a smartphone? But there are places where your smartphone may not be able to be used in such a way. It's one thing to have a compass, but it's of little use if I don't know how to use it to navigate the terrain of life, if I'm not able to apply it and skillfully use it. Sometime back, there was a reality show called Man vs. Wild. It was hosted by a man named Bear Grylls, who was a former member of the British Special Forces, a real outdoorsy type of man. And in each episode, he would be dropped into some very hard, ruthless environment somewhere in the world, like the Sahara Desert, or the jungles of Panama, the tundra of Siberia, places like this. And with only a few resources, he would show the viewers how to survive and navigate a way back to civilization. You know, it was a really practical show. We all know how often we find ourselves in the middle of the Sahara alone. But the reality, actually, is that we are born into a world and environment that is hard. It is rugged. And where matters of life and death are really at stake. Our decisions matter. We need to know and understand the compass that God has given to us, His Word. But we also need His gracious wisdom in applying that Word to the details and practicalities of life. And it's those two things that you can see introduced here at the beginning of the book. Wisdom and instruction. They're both emphasized. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to receive instruction. The Old Testament scholar and Hebrew scholar Bruce Waltke says this, wisdom cannot be possessed without instruction. And then he says, wisdom and instruction cannot be gained unless the hearer is able to understand the sages, the wise ones' words. We need both of those things. To have wisdom, we need understanding and knowledge. We need to know the Word of God and then wisdom to apply and wield that Word really at the street level where we live our lives. Because there are questions and circumstances that surface in our lives, we all know, where there are not hard and fast rules. Questions like, what kind of man or woman should I marry? What career path should I be taking? How do I connect the kingdom of God and my faith to my workplace? How does that happen? How should I prioritize the use of my money and resources? How do I endure this trial and this suffering that doesn't seem to have an end? What do I do now that I'm retired? How do I relate to this person who doesn't seem all that fond of me, perhaps even antagonistic? There's all kinds of questions and circumstances that we find ourselves in as we live this life and of which we need wisdom. Thankfully, the Lord simplifies matters for us. Because through the whole book of Proverbs, as reflected here in the preamble in verse 2 and 7, there's really only two paths a person can take in this world, in this life. There's the path of wisdom, the path of the wise. And then there's the path of foolishness, the path of fools. And through the book, these two paths are personified. They're represented by two people, two women, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. We've already been introduced to Lady Wisdom in chapter 1, verse 20. She cries aloud in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice. She says, "Whoever listens to me will dwell secure." We hear her again in chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of this bread and this wine. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of insight. On the path of Lady Wisdom is peace, discernment, contentment, joy, humility, love. But there's another path. There's another woman. It is Lady Folly. And there's an alarming description of her that comes right after Lady Wisdom in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 13. It says this, "The woman Folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town." It's very clear she's filled with pride. She wants to fill you with pride. She calls to those who pass by and says to him who lacks sense, come, eat this bread in secret, for it is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, the place of death and destruction. Now, along the path of Lady Folly is deception, pride, envy, instant and self-gratification, selfish ambition, and then in the end, death and destruction. And part of the wisdom here in Proverbs is that the Lord simplifies things for us in saying there's only two paths. Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly. And that brings us back to the creation story. When God placed Adam and Eve in a garden, and among all the trees, what did he place before them? The tree of life, and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It brings us back to creation. It also propels us forward to the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in the two ways. Enter through the narrow gate, Jesus said, for wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow the gate that leads to life, only a few find it. So there's two paths. Really, we could say there's two kinds of wisdom that is competing for us. The Apostle James speaks about wisdom. We heard it earlier in the New Testament reading in James 3. James 3:15, he speaks about a wisdom that is from above, and then he speaks about a second wisdom that is, he calls, earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Now, do you remember Jesus' rebuke to Peter? When Peter said to Jesus, "No, Lord, you shall not go the path of suffering and be crucified." And Jesus rebukes Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Why would Jesus apply such a strong rebuke and title here? Well, it wasn't so much, it seems to me, because Peter was setting his mind on the things of Satan. He was simply setting his mind on the things of man. Natural things, earthly things, like survival. "No, Lord, you shall not go that path. Your life should be preserved." Peter was simply applying man's wisdom, that from below, unspiritual, in ways demonic. Here, Peter, one of the 12, called, gifted, empowered, he was still having to learn that wisdom from above. In this case, is marked by humility and even a cross. So Proverbs is very much about helping the godly continue to learn and grow, all of us. And that can be challenging as time goes on in our life or in the life of our faith, as our minds and our hearts may become less pliable and malleable. Change becomes more challenging. But notice verse 5 here in this opening. "Let the wise hear and increase in learning." We want to be among the wise. Even the wise, those who have matured, he says, come this path, continue to grow in learning. Notice the three groups in these opening verses that are mentioned. You have the wise, those experienced in the ways of God. You also have fools in verse 7. They despise wisdom. And then you have a third group called the simple. Important group in this book in verse 4. To give prudence to the simple. And then notice the parallel line. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. Those two groups, the simple and youth, you can kind of put together. They are a key audience through the book of Proverbs. Certainly the book of Proverbs is for all of God's people, but there's special attention placed upon the young, youth, sons and daughters who are on the threshold of maturity. Those who are very much forming their convictions and beliefs and their worldview. These are people considering the question, who am I as a person? And they're very much contrasting and comparing what I've been told as a young person with what I'm coming to believe myself. And the wise sage is trying to pull the young along this path and say, listen, Listen to the path of wisdom. Understand these things. Now, here's how the book of Proverbs is designed. It's an anthology. It's a collection of sayings. It's 31 chapters. It's noted in the opening verse, the book as a whole is attributed to Solomon. He is the main contributor to the book. We heard earlier from 1 Kings that Solomon knew 3,000 proverbs, over 1,000 songs. He had asked the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord had granted him great wisdom. But there are other contributors to the book. There's a group in chapter 22 called the wise, the sayings of the wise. There's the words of a man named Agur in chapter 30. And then King Lemuel in chapter 31. Frequently, Proverbs is associated with those short, kind of pithy sayings. Like Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. The wisdom that comes as one appreciates what they have and they continue to build upon what they have. Or Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. There's so many of these, if you've read through Proverbs, of these kind of short, punchy sayings, they can seem disconnected, unrelated. But those actually begin in the 10th chapter. If you flip through Proverbs, you'll see that. And the way that we come to understand all of those is by understanding the first 9 chapters, which is where we will spend the bulk of our time. Chapters 1 through 9 are extended discourses or extended poems, selling wisdom to us, calling us to hear and be attentive to these words. If you flip through chapters 1 through 9, you'll notice at the beginning of most of those chapters, you hear words like, my son, receive my words, or my son, be attentive to my wisdom. It's one appeal after another in those first 9 chapters in which the author is calling us to this path of wisdom. Now, I want to point out something very obvious, but I think very profound. The wisdom found in Proverbs comes in the form of poetry. Now, you might be like me, and you're thinking, I'm not a poet, I'm not the son of a poet, I don't have a lot of poetry background, but we're going to walk this poetry path together. These wise sages were masters in the use and craft of words. Interesting, God's truth and wisdom comes to us in an art form here, poetry. The path of God's wisdom not only results in a holy life, but a beautiful life. You see, this wisdom actually was with God in the very beginning, before creation itself. It's a marvelous thing. Proverbs 3, verse 19, the Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. And then in chapter 8, even further, when the Lord possessed me, wisdom, at the beginning of his work, ages ago I was set up. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he assigned to the sea its limit, I was daily his delight. So that wisdom was not only a means by which God created the world, wisdom is the ordering principle by which everything functions. It's a remarkable thing. God, as the wise and master artist, painted and formed a world, the created world, a world of complexity and yet order, a world full of beauty all around us. And now, by that same wisdom, he's forming a people who reflect not only a holy life, but a beautiful life. That's much of what it's about. That beautiful life is marked not by outward appearance or affluence, how much you have, what career path you have gone down, what your education might be, what accomplishments you've had. This beauty is revealed in the inward character of a person, godliness, peace, joy, humility, love, long-suffering. God's making a beautiful people, a wise people. And this wise and beautiful path is the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the path that He walked, marked in great part by humiliation, lowliness, and ultimately the cross. So when one walks this path, they're walking with very good company. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His character that's being worked in His people. It's a wonderful poem provided on your notes in your bulletin. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when He yearns with all His heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed, watch His methods, watch His ways, how He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects, how He hammers him and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into shapes and forms of clay which only God can understand, how He bends but never breaks when His good He undertakes, how He uses whom He chooses and with mighty power infuses him, with every act induces him to try His splendor out. God knows what He's about. If we desire to walk this path of wisdom, there's a door that must be entered. And it's only through this door. This is the only door one may enter to walk on this path of wisdom. And it's the one mentioned in verse 7. It's really the motto of the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we're going to be learning a lot about that through the book of Proverbs. Wisdom and understanding does not begin with man. That's what he's saying. Wisdom and understanding begins with God, and it's received from God by humility. That's part of what fear of God is about. Humbly recognizing the source of truth and wisdom and understanding. It comes from the Lord. Interesting. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. That's a very strong relational point. The crisis of our age is not an informational one. It's a relational one. That's the wisdom of Proverbs. And your relationship to God is what's going to determine that, whether one has a wise life or true understanding in this world. More information does not lead to wisdom, understanding, or life. Ultimately, it is fear of God, a humble turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is where wisdom is at. That is where life is at. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word and for Your wisdom, and we pray that You would shape in us, Lord, the very character of Your Son, Jesus Christ, indeed, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, we pray that You would cause us to have fear in our hearts, a reverence for You, humility, Lord, in our own lives, that we can enter through that door or re-enter through it again and again and again. Lord, that we would recognize that how good, gracious, and great You are. And Lord, our need to humble ourselves that we may walk rightly and wisely. We pray with thanks, Lord, that it is by Your grace that You have birthed us into a living hope, that You have placed us upon this path by Your mercy and love in Jesus Christ. Continue to sanctify us, O Lord, and strengthen us. Encourage our hearts, Lord, as we follow after You. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.